From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Demonstrators have taken to the streets of Cleveland. They're protesting a judge's decision to acquit a police officer in the death of two unarmed people in 2012. ML Schulze from member station WKSU reports.
Judge John O'Donnell acquitted Cleveland police officer Michael Brillo on charges of voluntary manslaughter and felonious assault. He said prosecutors failed to prove Brillo's shots were the ones that killed Timothy Russell and Melissa Williams and failed to prove that he was unreasonable when he fired some of his 49 shots. O'Donnell said Brillo had essentially 8 seconds to make a decision and that even the most experienced officers would have had trouble.
Brillo's deadly shot would have caused the cessation of life if none of the other three were fired on Timothy Russell. But they were.
The case began in November 2012 when police officers mistook backfire of Russell's car for gunshots and more than 100 officers gave chase. It ended in a school parking lot with police firing nearly 140 bullets. For NPR News, I'm ML Schulze in Cleveland.
The United Nations says more than 55,000 people have fled a city in western Iraq that recently fell to so-called Islamic State militants. Susanna George reports thousands of Shiite militiamen allied with the government are massing a base outside the city in advance of a counteroffensive.
Sunnis forced to flee their homes in Anbar speak to a local television channel accusing the government of abandoning them as ISIS stormed the city of Ramadi earlier this week. Most families who fled the fighting are now stuck on the outskirts of the Iraqi capital after the government tightened rules requiring people from Anbar to have a sponsor in order to enter Baghdad. Just outside Ramadi, Shia militiamen are helping Iraqi government troops stop ISIS advances. As recently as Friday, the group was continuing to seize territory along a key road linking Ramadi to the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. For NPR News, I'm Susanna George.
Ireland has become the first country in the world to adopt same-sex marriage by popular vote. Figures from yesterday's referendum show 62% of Irish voters said yes. Jernan Brady runs the Yes campaign for same-sex marriage.
The dignity and fortitude and bravery of ordinary lesbian and gay people who've never been involved in anything before in their lives, going out and talking to their friends and neighbors, is the real reason we've won this. We reminded people that this was about real people, and we'll never be invisible again.
Those seeking a no result say they weren't surprised by the outcome, given that all of Ireland's political parties and most politicians back the legalization of homosexual unions. Ireland's Prime Minister is praising the result, saying the vote shows the Irish are a generous, compassionate, bold, and beautiful people. Ireland joins 19 other countries who've already legalized same-sex marriage. This is NPR News. European eyes will be glued to their TV sets tonight as a glitzy, unmissable tradition takes place in Vienna. The Eurovision Song Contest is turning 60. Terry Schultz reports the event attracts almost 200 million viewers in 40 countries, more than the Super Bowl, but its popularity often puzzles people outside of Europe.
ABBA and Celine Dion won Eurovision contests back in the day, but many performers never get a gig bigger than this. What started as a competition between Western European countries now includes the former Soviet nations, Israel, and this year, even Australia. Two rounds of semifinals plus seven pre-approved spots have narrowed it down to 27 competitors. Bookmakers have Sweden's Måns Zelmerlöw slated to win.
We are the heroes of our time.
Besides professional judges watching the show, popular votes are tallied from each country. There's usually a political undertone to these results. Last year, the Russian act got loud boos for Moscow's aggression toward Ukraine. This year, the Russian song is about peace and tolerance. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Gasoline prices are expected to drop over the summer. NPR's Jeff Brady reports at $2.74 a gallon, the average price for regular gas is 92 cents lower than a year ago.
Across the globe, oil production continues to outpace demand. Since oil makes up most of the cost of gasoline and since some problems at refineries have been resolved, it's starting to look like gas prices may decline this summer. One analyst even projects prices will fall to just above $2 a gallon for regular gas at the end of the summer.
NPR's Jeff Brady. This is NPR News.